I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, producer Jonah Primo here, and welcome to Principle of Charity. This is part one of our conversation on whether or not AI can create art. In part one, Emil will do his best to tease out the nuances of the topic, and in part two, next week, Lloyd, as is his style, will do his best to tease out the nuances of the guests themselves. As always, if you learned something from the show, please leave us a review. Enjoy.
Welcome to Principle of Charity. I'm Lloyd Vogelman, and I'm here with my cousin and buddy, Emil Sherman. We're here to inject some generosity and curiosity back into our conversations. Principle of Charity tells us to seek the truth, not win the fight, and to first put aside our own views and try to understand the other viewpoint before we instinctively reject it. Every episode, we have a Principle of Charity personal challenge. And today, Emil, our personal challenge draws on the psychological concept of fusion. When you are fused with your thinking, you are tangled up with your thoughts, meaning that you don't have enough perspective to notice. They are just, in fact, thoughts and not absolute truths. So the next time you are in a big argument with someone from the other side, can you be conscious that your negative thoughts about them are not absolute truths? Now, Emil, tell us a little bit about our topic for today.
Thanks, Lloyd. Our topic today is, can AI create art? In 2022, an AI-generated work of art won a US state art competition. The artists used Midjourney, one of the popular AI systems that also include DALL-E and Stable Diffusion. They're trained on the millions of images scattered through the internet using a deep learning program called a Generative Adversarial Network, or GAN for short. It works by taking in text prompts, where you type in what you want the artwork to look like, and the AI then draws on a huge database of artworks it has to generate a new work that conforms to the prompts. But to create a great AI work, it's not as simple as typing, create some great art. The artists who won that competition put in lengthy and complex prompts, working up hundreds of iterations before he arrived at the final work. But is this really art? And if so, which bit of it is the art? One could argue that the art bit lies with the written prompts from the human, as that's where the authentic creative expression seems to lie. And is it really that different to the many top artists who have in the past and still today have a studio with assistants who physically create the work, with the artist verbally communicating what they want? In this light, AI is a sort of souped-up assistant or tool there to realize the artist's vision. Or is the AI better seen as a collaborator here, taking cues from a human and then going about its own creative process as it takes in millions of online images and creates something that draws on them, is fueled by the human prompt, but is genuinely new? When we see some of the extraordinary AI creations from these platforms, it does seem like this is qualitatively different to a bunch of assistants following your exact instruction. Or is art really just the wrong word to describe the sort of images produced? If you think written prompts aren't enough to be called an authentic artistic expression, and the AI by itself isn't able to create anything meaningfully original, just remixing what we've seen before, then there's nothing there that could be called art, even if it might be called creative. Whatever we think, it's clear that AI art, like AI in every domain it has touched, is challenging us to rethink our categories and even to ask us to question what it means to be human. And so here we're forced once again to ask the question that art seems to feed on again and again, what is art? Now, for me, what's more interesting than these text-to-image systems like Midjourney or DALL-E, which are really advertised as creative helpers for humans who want to become more creative, is the question of whether AI can create art without human input at all. One of our guests, Ahmed El-Gamal has created such a system, and it has passed what could be called the art Turing test, where most people who are shown the images genuinely believe these works are created by humans and that they express something original and authentic. And if that wasn't enough, his AI-created works were seen in his experiment as more authentically human than works shown from the world's leading art fair. This, for me, is where things get interesting. There's no pretense here that it's the human prompts that make it art. This is an AI system generating art by itself, albeit one programmed by a human. But is it really art, or is it just a simulacrum, a collection of digital ones and zeros that are masquerading as art, tricking us into thinking that it's an artwork? Our other guest today, Michael Sarkassis, believes strongly that art is much more than the image itself, no matter how good it is, or even how original or evocative it might feel to a viewer. That art lies in the relationship between an artist and its viewer, in the way it connects, creates, and communicates meaning. When we stand in front of a great work of art, we find solace as we recognize others have thought and felt as we do. We see an expression of an inner life, even a subconscious, and moreover, an expression that's deeply rooted in the artist's cultural and social environment. Art, in this view, is not and can never be merely an image void of human intent, meaning, and context. So, Lloyd, today I'm aiming to achieve the impossible, to get to the bottom of that endlessly gnarly question, what actually is art? Or even harder, what is good art? And can artificial intelligence create it? Tell us a little more about our guests before we bring them on.
Emil, our two guests today are Michael Sarkassis and Ahmed El-Gamal. Let me tell you a little bit about Michael first. Michael is the executive director at the Christian Studies Center in Florida. He received his MA in theological studies from the Reformed Theological Seminary. Michael was later a doctoral candidate at the University of Central Florida, studying the relationship between technology and society with a focus on the work of Hannah Arendt. Along the way, Michael has taught in a variety of settings and has written extensively on technology and society. He's an associate fellow in ethics and culture at the Greystone Theological Institute. He has written for The New Atlantis, The New Inquiry, The American, and Second Nature Journal. His work has also been featured in The Atlantic and The New York Times. And Michael writes The Convivial Society, a popular newsletter on technology, culture, and the moral life. And he has been described as one of the most penetrating and stimulating critics of digital technology. Emil, our other guest today is Ahmed El-Gamal. Ahmed is a professor at the Department of Computer Science and the Center for Cognitive Science at Rutgers University. He is also the founder and director of the Art and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory at Rutgers. Ahmed also found and is the CEO of Playform AI, a platform that is dedicated to give artists access to the latest generative AI tech. His research on knowledge discovery in art history, AI art generation, and AI-based art authentication, as well as the AI team, listen to this, that he led in completing Beethoven's 10th Symphony, has received global media coverage. In 2016, a TV segment about Ahmed's research produced for PBS won an Emmy Award, and in 2017, he developed AI Can, an autonomous AI artist and collaborative creative partner, which was acclaimed in an artsy editorial as the biggest artistic achievement of the year. He has published over 200 peer-reviewed papers, chapters, and books in the field of computer vision and machine learning, and Ahmed received his MSc and PhD degrees in computer science from the University of Maryland. Emil, let's bring Ahmed and Michael on.
Welcome, Ahmed and Michael. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us. Ahmed, I want to start with you. You know, I've seen some of the incredible work you've done on the nature of creativity and how you've analyzed the history of art and boiled it down to its ability, as I understand it, to be original and to influence. And then through your lab, you've created an AI system that can create new artworks, which seem to have even passed the sort of AI Turing test, where a majority of people think the works have been created by humans. And as I understand it, your technology uses a different AI system, and I'm not a particularly technical person here, to the current prompt-to-image systems used by AI platforms like Midjourney, and we'll get to those Midjourney GAN type systems down the track. But just in its purest sense, Ahmed, with a system like the one you've created, can you expand a little on how can AI create art?
Thank you for inviting me for this podcast. There are many ways AI create arts can use to be to create art. Art here is not just the image that the AI spits out. Art here is the process of creating the algorithm that makes the AI creative and generate images. Think of it as a whole process from front to end. Somebody has to program this AI with the intention to make it generate these images.
So the artist there is the programmer, in a sense, is what you're saying.
In a sense, yes. In a sense, yes, because the programmer is the one who fed the AI the data, frame out what the objective of that AI and how it works. And AI became creative in the process following these rules. But there's a person who framed out this whole process, and that's a creative process. Involved writing code, involved collecting data, involved curating the outputs, and AI is part of the process.
I mean, we'll talk about some of these things down the track, but if an artist needs to be expressing something authentic, I just wonder whether a programmer in that sense is actually expressing something authentic. If an artist is the right word to describe what a programmer is doing in that sense, because they're more setting up the conditions within which art can be produced rather than actually expressing something specific.
Totally. When artists use these kind of tools, these kind of tools goes under what's called GANs, generative adversarial networks, collectively. And these kind of tools allow artists to train the AI system with some images, and the AI system will generate more of these images or variant of these images. And here, what is the artist's role? The artist's role is maybe the artist is not a programmer at all. Maybe the artist is just using a code that somebody else programmed. But the artist's role here is to feed it some images, usually their own images as artists, and maybe tweak some parameters and knobs and generate images and curate from that. And maybe iterate several times through this process until they get what they want. So it's a creative process for artists. And AI here play a role. It's a creative role.
I mean, I hear that, Ahmed. I hear that. And we'll get into the GAN. I want to start with the sort of CAN algorithm that you created, and we'll get into the Midjourney DALL-E type GAN programs later. But the role of the programmer in creating the program that you put together feels very different to an artist asking something very specific of Midjourney. That, you know, the program totally. You came up with did create things that somehow escaped the box of intention of the programmer. I'm going to move to Michael now, and then we'll get back into all these because you've sort of brought up so many of the questions we're going to be addressing on this side of the podcast. But Michael, you know, your wonderful online newsletter, The Convivial Society, and you wrote this article, which really prompted my thinking about this area and this episode, and where you question the value of artwork created by AI. And we'll deep dive into some of these areas down the track. But how would you summarize your main arguments of why AI can't create truly meaningful art?
Likewise, thank you for having me on. And I was really excited to have this conversation, in part because it's helpful to hear different perspectives and kind of clarify your own thinking in the process. So again, thank you. And thank you, Ahmed, for joining in. I think I approached the question, first of all, I wonder if at some point it might be helpful to clarify terms that we're using, like art or creativity, or even AI, because I feel like those terms are used in such divergent ways by people who have these conversations that sometimes I think people end up talking past each other just because they're using the words equivocally. But in that particular piece, I wondered about the degree to which art involves is a medium by which two human beings connect at some level, right? And so, for example, I did focus a little bit on some of what at the time might be perceived as merely technical deficiencies. And I recognize, of course, that the technical deficiencies can be overcome. So I don't necessarily want to stake everything I have to say on that. But the observation was sort of grounded on the fact that if I subjectively, right, so this is open, you know, to question, but subjectively, if I consider a painting by Bruegel, who is an artist that I'm particularly fond of, I feel as if I can spend a great deal of time and I can ask of the painting questions about its meaning, its significance, in such a way that what I'm ultimately asking is a question about Bruegel, about a person, right? About a human being with a set of experiences that obviously are not entirely similar to mine, from a different time, a different culture, a different world in some respects, but that there is sufficient continuity in the human experience where I might meaningfully put questions to the painting. And in essence, what I'm asking to some degree, and again, I realize there are theoretical questions here about intentionality and the meaning of art and more postmodern readings of art, et cetera. But that there is ultimately some sense in which I'm asking a question of a person. Mm. And that person may to some degree be able to give an account of their work in response to that question. Much of that now is, of course, a very one-sided conversation with those who have already passed away, right? So
yeah.
I like Auden's phrase, W.H. Auden's phrase about breaking bread with the dead, and we do that over texts and images and all sorts of things. And I wasn't sure, right, if I could ask the same sorts of questions of an AI-generated image. I want to acknowledge, though, that I think there's a range of possibilities here, right? So there's the person who maybe logs on to Midjourney, throws a couple of prompts out and produces some images as a consequence, and that's sort of the end of it, right? And then there may be a more involved process whereby someone is much more deliberate in what they're trying to draw out or accomplish, so that it becomes, as Ahmed said, more a matter of the AI becoming a tool in the hand of someone who is attempting to realize some vision, right? Attempting to realize some proximity in the output to what they intend, right? So there's I grant that there's a spectrum of possibilities here.
But what about Michael with one of the systems that Ahmed created, where it's less about the prompt of the individual, but the programmer sets up the conditions within which art can be or creativity can emerge? How would you view a creative work? I'm trying to get to the sort of purer sense of the possibilities of AI. How would you view an artistic work or a creation from an algorithm, a deep learning system, where there was no prompt?
So if I understand this correctly, the idea is that you have an output that produces something that is trained on traditions of human art and generates something that is relatively novel, but somehow in keeping with that tradition. And I suppose part of my question would be, and I think this is the train of thought that you were pursuing as well, so where do we locate the creativity in that process?
Yes.
And what is what exactly is creativity? Is creativity coextensive with making? Right. So are all acts of making creative in the sense that we mean, or artistic in the sense that we mean? Do we reserve the term of art or genuine creativity to a certain level of proficiency or a certain fidelity to a tradition? The one question that has been formulated in my mind, I wondered if there was a difference between, look what I have helped the machine to create, and look at what I have created. And in my mind, there's not a binary here, but there may be thresholds of involvement, thresholds of expertise or training that may fade over to a point where we might say, well, I'm not sure whether the way in which we ordinarily speak of creativity or of art necessarily applies in quite the same way. And maybe we begin to speak analogously, right? The machine is creative analogously to a human, to human creativity And those are the best terms that we have to describe what is happening. But analogies are not identity, right? So they're different things that are nonetheless sort of related to one another.
Yeah, I mean, the sense I got from your article was that, you know, even in an end case where an AI system was actually, you know, truly mind-blowingly creative and where someone looking at the work might find in it something powerful, new, evocative, emotional, that an image by itself, an image devoid of a sort of human intent and a relationship with a human being behind it, got an inner life and is expressing something and sits within a social and political context and cultural context. In a sense, the work is necessary but not sufficient to qualify as art. Now, there's something that art needs to be, which is more than just the form. Is that a reasonable reading of what you were writing?
I think that certainly is a good way of putting it. I steered away from wanting to police the way that the word art is used. And I'm not entirely sure if I would say this is not art in some sense. But I wonder if it answers to the same human needs as other forms of art that we might find a measure of consolation in, a measure of sure. Now I immediately think of Iris Murdoch, who says that art ought not to console at all. But right, there's some measure of meaning that we can seek and derive in relationship to the understanding that I am speaking to someone whose experience is not wholly unlike mine. Right. Now there are non-human elements of the world which can be meaningful, right, or which can speak to us in a certain way, and so perhaps the image. And I appreciate the distinction between an image, the way you use specifically this is an image. The image is maybe not valueless, right? It maybe has a certain aesthetic excellence to it at some level, but I am still left wondering about that human to human connection that
right.
I at some level can presume, right, in taking up a painting of Bruegel's or a certain novel. I can presume on that. I may not be able to fully plumb the depths of that significance or meaning. I am susceptible to misinterpretation. I'm susceptible to imposing upon the work of art my own meaning and interpretation as wholly distinct from theirs. All of that is possible, but I can still presume that it is meaningful to ask the question, what was it like for the other human being on the other end of this work of art to create this, and what can I learn from it?
Yes. That is a key thing. And I think we'll get, Ahmed, to some of the GAN systems. And I know you've got some real concerns, Ahmed, about the level of creativity and where the creativity lies. But I just want to continue to stay with, I guess, the potential, Ahmed, of AI to be creative, to be truly creative. And thinking about our brains as neural networks, biologically based with electrical, chemical signals, and AI deep learning programs are another form of network, as I understand it, silicon-based, using ones and zeros. And we humans create art by looking out at our environment as well as other artworks. We're inspired and process it in our brains. And we come up with creations that draw on all of this whilst offering something new. And, you know, as I understand it, you've done a lot of work in analyzing exactly what artworks are, how they draw on the past and how they create something new. And there's in that way of looking at the artwork, there's no inherent reason why an incredible AI system couldn't do that, unless we're appealing to a supernatural world of souls and spirits or something that lies beyond the realm of neurology and the environment. Is there a philosophical or even limit according to the laws of physics about why AI can't create really great art, or how great an artwork AI could actually create? I mean, we know in other spheres, in the game of Go, or just in so many other spheres with AI now, AI is actually better than humans. I'm even wondering, theoretically, could AI be more creative than human beings? paint a picture of a sort of positive picture of the potential of AI here.
First, I think for the benefit of this discussion, let's make a differentiation between creativity, talking about the creativity and talking about art. They are not the same thing. You can be creative, but what you're creating is not art. And you can make art that's not creative. So making art and being creative is totally different things.
How would you define that difference?
Yeah, let me define that philosophically. So let's define creativity first. And there are many. There are a long debate about what's creativity and historical. And let's go to the Immanuel Kant definition, the philosopher about creativity. So he defined what's called artistic genius. And the main two conditions for something to be called artistic genius is for that thing you're looking at to be novel compared to what happened in the past, and to be exemplary or influential. So people look at it and like it and try to copy it. And these are the two elements that most people agree on as the two elements of creativity. So that's creativity. So it's well-defined to some degree. And this definition here, if you look at this definition, there is nothing here that restricts creativity to be human. AI can create things that are novel, and AI can create things that influence us as human and we like it. So in that very definition, I don't see any restriction for AI to create something creative. It can create an image that me as a person look at and say, wow, that's inspired me. And there is a reason for that. And I can even, I have seen examples of artists start to copy what AI have made. So that clearly show that AI is creative. And from a mathematical point of view, I believe that creativity is a search in a very high dimensional space. If you're doing visual images, that you have a very high dimensional bunch of pixels with colors and you're searching something meaningful to you in that space aesthetically. And AI can be much better than human in exploring that large space of numbers. The same thing if you're creating a text or music. So AI can be creative, I have no doubt about that. Now let's go talk about art. Art is very different. I like Michael's definition about art being a communication between the human. This is also the definition of Tolstoy. Tolstoy have the same kind of definition. You think of art as a communication between humans. If we put art as a communication between humans, we precondition art to be a human thing. Right. I mean, a machine cannot talk, communicate with another machine through art. It's mainly for the consumption of human, whether a human created it or a machine. So that's now restrict by definition art to be a human thing.
But could I ask you, Ahmed, on that, when you mentioned Immanuel Kant, he talked about the definition of artistic genius, not creative genius. So do you think he would disagree with you?
Yeah, there are so many different definitions came after, but again, the consensus among people in that domain is about these two elements. There are other people who add other things to it, like surprising and other things, and even talking about creativity, what are we talking about? There are people who talk about creativity of a person. You can say Mozart is a creative artist, or Beethoven, or Da Vinci. Or talking about creativity of an object, you can say the Mona Lisa is creative piece of work, or psychologists prefer to talk about creativity in terms of the mental process of creation. So again, depending on what are you attributing creativity to, the definition can vary. But at the end, no matter what, still, these two elements becomes very crucial in defining creativity. There's the novelty and being influential. And even that differs. Are you talking about creativity from personal point of view? I can do something creative for myself, something novel for me and something inspire me. But for the others, it's not creative because it has been done before. And that distinction has been done by Professor Margaret Bowden, who is an expert in AI and creativity a long time ago. And she has a distinction between what's called personal creativity and historical creativity. So I guess for this discussion, we're talking about historical creativity, which is basically you're creating something for other people, and other people judge it to be creative or novel.
So could I ask, Ahmed, in that context, the work that your AI system created, you know, was highly creative, but it did, in a sense, trick people into thinking that it was art because people read human intentionality into it. It was a sort of simulacra of art rather than being art itself. And people read intention and authenticity and expression into it when there was none.
Totally. That's a great point. Again, depending on people can be fooled by looking at the image and comparing it to artworks and think it's defined as art. Because here, the question is wrong, actually. Although I asked this question myself, but there's something fundamental here. When you're looking at an artwork on a gallery wall, you are now switching everything to a viewer-based understanding of what's on the wall. You are taking the artist who created that out of the equation altogether, and you're just looking at an image on a wall. And as a viewer, here it's a different process. It's here about how that piece of work on the wall affects you. What do you read into it? How emotionally it affects you? And that experience, that viewing experience, is really what affects your decision whether it's art or not from viewer point of view, even without looking at the label and looking at who.
Yeah. So from a viewer point of view, in a sense, you don't need an artwork. You don't need it to be an artwork to be affected. To use our definition, you just need something that's creative, that's evocative. I mean, I was thinking, Michael. I studied a lot of cultural theory at university, and Derrida loomed large with his catchphrase, there's nothing outside the text. You know, the creator can't control the meaning of their work, and the work speaks for itself in a sense. And if we see a work, as Ahmed's referring to, a work in a gallery created by AI, let's say there's just a programmer behind it, but no authentic particular intended expression by someone, but it really is an AI-created work. But that work moves us and affects us and feels new and feels vibrant in all the ways that Ahmed's created work did with the human test subjects who thought they were actually more authentic than many of the works from Art Basel. How do we think about value in that context? Are the viewers being tricked in a sort of deep sense? Or is their experience something that is valuable? How do we think about value and merit and the worth of a work like that? Essentially just an incredibly effective optical illusion, which makes you think something which doesn't actually exist.
That's a great question. It raises an interesting ethical question, I think, because it. If I come to the museum, which is where we think of encountering art, unless we're very wealthy and the museum happens to be our living room, I made a note too about the fact that there is maybe something worth exploring here about how that, in fact, that experience of art is relatively modern. Our art has historically served many purposes, right? But they've more recently, I think, perhaps been narrowed. Art has been narrowed to its aesthetic value, whereas what we think of as art now would have had a context and a role to play in a ritual setting, in a religious setting, in a political context. And we tend to abstract now that work and set it in a museum and abstract it from its greater enfolding into the fabric of some human community or some human, a robust setting where certain practices and assumptions gave the art its full significance or intention. Mm. So there's already a sense in which we've stepped away from some of the ways in which humans have encountered what we think of as art. And reduced it already to an act of consumption. This is part of what comes to my mind too, right? Do we orient ourselves to a work of art, which I, to some degree, I feel like putting in quotation marks, right? Because it's so fluid, whatever we think of that, right? What do we expect of it? Do we expect to simply be awed by some technical proficiency involved in the creation of the work of art? That's certainly one dimension of it. And so in that case, if that is all that I'm seeking, I am sure that there are works of AI-generated art which will achieve, by some measures, a high degree of technical proficiency. And so if we think of art as, if I come to the work of art wanting to receive, though, I think maybe this is the difference, not just as a consumer, but as someone who is seeking some measure of wisdom, right? Something that comes from the work of art that will inform my experience of the world. If the work of art it presents as being generated, but if we assume that it is human, but it is not, I wonder if there is not some ethical question there that is worth raising, right? About,
well, I'm talking here about knowing that it's AI.
Yeah, sure.
You're feeling things. What merit does one's feeling and experience have, given there's no, you know, human interlocutor there? There's no consciousness on the other end.
Yeah, right.
Is it fundamentally a trick, or it's a meaningful experience?
I'm trying to think if we've located the right question, right?
So yeah, right.
You know, because I'm willing certainly to grant. It's not even a willingness to grant. It's just it seems to me straightforward that we can encounter a work of AI-generated art in the same way that we might encounter some pattern in nature that was not generated by human intelligence, say, that would be meaningful or speak to us, or set off in us, within me, a process of thought or feeling, right? That, of course, has merit. It would have merit simply by virtue of setting me off on a certain train of thought. And that has its place, its value. I would not want to deny it a value. But I think, again, I come back to, if I am, on the other hand, seeking something that of necessity entails this understanding that there is another human psyche, that there's someone who has suffered, say, right? Or someone who has generated an insight as a consequence of their being a creature like me in the world. And that I am looking, if I'm intentionally looking for that, I do question whether I can find that there. So I don't necessarily want to say that only those things have merit and only those things have value.
But they're a different form of merit in a sense. It's a different...
I think so. I would want to be very clear about what it is we're asking of the image or the work of art.
It's very important, I think, what Michael mentioned here. But there are two things I want to clarify here that will help us make a picture of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. First, if we remember 100 years ago, exactly, almost exactly, Marcel Duchamp, a French-American artist, had his fountain piece of art, which was basically, he bought a urinal and put it upside down and called it art. And that was, many art historians talk about this as the most creative artwork of the century. So that's one thing. And if you look at this here, that's what's called ready-made art, when an artist just get off the shelf something and say it's art. And we should keep that in mind when talking about AI and artists using AI nowadays. Because if an artist decides to use AI as part of their process, we should respect that. We should respect that this is a tool they are using. They are not deceiving us. They're telling us that we are using AI. It's part of our process. I did this using AI. And then the second thing to notice is that no AI-generated art is done out of vacuum. There is always and will be always a human in the loop, a human who programmed it, a human who fed the data, a human who wrote the prompts. There is some degree of human intervention.
But do you think, Ahmed, the human intervention qualifies as an artistic intervention in the sense that there's an authentic expression?
Yes, that's a very good question. That depends a lot on what kind of AI you're using. Is the person using AI have a statement or not? Or does he use AI for a purpose, or just because of lack of his own creativity using AI to create something and deceive us with it? So that's a whole different story. So having these two things in mind, I think, help us navigate this minefield.
Yeah, and I mean, I really... We'll get now to the GAN systems, and I want to ask you this, Ahmed, but I just finally, Michael, you know, what you were talking about really reminded me of some of the beautiful lines you quoted in your article, where you talk about loneliness and sort of the purpose of art. And you quoted this idea of the dulling sameness of a world of infinite but meaningless variety, you know, that we can be in a world which is absolutely saturated with incredible images, but somehow we still feel more alienated than ever and more alone. There's an expression, the malaise of symbolic misery. And these are some beautiful ideas, which I think go some way to convey the sense that there's a purpose to art that is beyond being just an impressive creative form, mm-hmm. that there needs to be a connection there that helps to soothe the loneliness. Ahmed, when we talk about these GAN systems now, where there are clearly humans involved with something to say, something they want to convey, is photography, does it qualify as an art form because the image isn't actually physically created by the artist? And it was decided that it was, that it did represent an authentic expression by a photographer. So it was sort of copyrightable art. But how do you think about these current GAN AI systems? Are the human prompters still truly the artist? Are they a collaborator with the AI in a sort of collab creativity? Or in a sense, are we deluding ourselves because the human's not really doing enough to qualify as an artistic voice and the AI is also not really doing enough?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you already have part of the answer in the question, which is, let's go back to photography. And when in the 19th century, when photography came around, first it was rejected as an art form. One of the very important point in photography was in 1861 France, where there was a lawsuit brought up by a famous photographer at the time to copyright some of their work. And initially the court said that photography is not copyrightable because it's not art. And the argument came around one important thing. Is the artist identity come through making a photograph? If you use a camera, I use a camera, how is it different from me and you using similar cameras and shooting same scene? Where's the artist identity? And it was very crucial to show that artist identity come through the process of photography. And that what make it art and what make it copyrightable. We have exactly the same question now. What makes AI art or not? So there are various ways of making art using AI. GANs came first. And in GANs, initially, you train AI in your own images as an artist and generate from it. So it's art's identity was clear here, because if you train it with your own images and it's your own process, your identity is there. And then came later these kind of big GAN systems where it trains on millions of images from the internet. And nowadays we see newer version of that. It's not GANs anymore. It's called diffusion models with text prompt, where you can train this with billions actually of images from the internet. And now your job is just tweak the knobs or write a text prompt and generate out of that. And here is the question, where is the artist's identity? I claim that artist's identity is wide in these systems, because your role as an artist here is mainly mining these systems to extract something from it that already somebody else can extract. For example, if you use Midjourney or any of these text prompting images, if me and you wrote the same prompts, exactly the same prompts, probably the system will generate different images. But why? It's nothing that I chose or you chose. That's mainly because it is a random number involved in the process that generates your image different from my image.
But even so, Ahmed, with the many iterations and the very long prompts that are used, is there not a point in which you feel like the artist is present?
Yes, totally agree. I mean, definitely, the only control here is how you write the prompts. And that's the only artistic knobs that you can play with and to generate something. But again, the art's identity here is hidden underneath the randomness of the system that at the end, if somebody else used the same exact prompts, the only difference is the randomness that created these images.
Yeah. Yeah.
So artist identity is really tricky to really prove to the world that there is an art's identity in the process.
Yes. Michael, we had the Oscar-winning writer-director Jane Campion on the podcast recently talking about creativity, and I've worked with her over a number of years, including on a film, The Power of the Dog, recently. And her creative process is hugely influenced by her subconscious. She just seems to have this miraculously and highly cultivated relationship with her subconscious that guides her process, where she's seemingly there to just encourage and channel her subconscious to produce her works rather than sort of forcing her will on her works. And I'm wondering if there's a way of seeing AI art, and I'm talking here, I'm trying to sort of go to the purer sense of really AI-generated art and the sort of work that Armin's been involved in rather than the GAN systems. But is there a way of seeing AI art as an expression of our collective unconscious, a space which is unconstrained by our human intention and agency in the sense that our unconscious is, but still worthy of merit as a sort of weird and wonderful representation of all the images that make up our collective lives? It's a very different way of seeing AI art to the sort of soulless commodity that exacerbates our loneliness model that we've talked about. Do you think there's anything of interest in AI art being an expression of our collective unconscious?
I mean, that certainly strikes me initially, at least, as a provocative idea. You know, so much sometimes hinges, interestingly enough, on what we as the human beings who are seeking meaning, seeking understanding, bring to the work of art, right? So is the artist simply the interpreter applying ever more sophisticated and creative modes of inquiry that they bring to the AI generated piece, so that I'm absolutely thinking out loud here. I'm not even sure where the sentence will end, right? But it suggests to me the sense that, you know, to think of art in that seemingly more sophisticated way, where I am exploring it as an expression of our collective unconscious, seems in itself to be a kind of artistic spirit that one brings to the experience. Mm. So that the artistry is in that sophisticated meaning deriving process that certainly not everyone brings, not everyone is sufficiently attentive to bring, and that it could be very fruitful, right?
Well, one final question for you, Michael, and then we're going to hand over to Lloyd. You know, we know that we don't just create technology, but sort of technology creates us. How do you think AI will change art? You know, I'm talking here about changes in the sort of artworks that are produced, as well as what we come to expect artworks to be, and also about how we relate to the artworks themselves. You know, one thing I thought of is, because AI art draws on past artworks, what happens when there are enough past artworks for AI to draw on its own creations? Would that represent a sort of artistic singularity? How is this process going to affect art, but also what we bring to art and our relationship with art?
So I think there's some interesting technical conversations happening now about what happens when AI begins feeding on itself or training itself, and whether that is a virtuous or a vicious cycle. I won't claim to be sufficiently up to date on the research on that question to be able to answer it competently. It seems to me some of what I've encountered suggests that may more likely be a kind of vicious cycle. But
what does that mean? You mean a sort of movement to mediocrity, in a sense?
Yeah, it's right. So it would degrade rather than augment the process. Yeah. You know, there are a couple of questions I've, you know, in direct response, I'm deeply interested in the question of human attentiveness, right? Of how we are able to attend to the world. So this is a kind of recurring theme in my writing and my own thinking. So what happens when we have a superabundance of information, right? Do we become more careful readers? Do we have to work very hard to actually retain the kind of serious attentiveness to an argument or to an essay or to whatever piece of human expression we're, you know, sort of thinking about? Or is the net effect a kind of numbing, right? Where we become numb to the superabundance of images, right? And again, I it is interesting to me how often some of our conversations now, like Amit suggested a moment ago, strangely echo late 19th, early 20th century conversations. So where lithography and other new techniques made images superabundant on the streets and advertising in the, you know, the number of images that a person was likely to encounter sort of grew exponentially to some degree, maybe not exponentially, right? But to some
degree. It's art in the age of mechanical reproduction.
Yes, right. It's certainly right. And so much of this conversation too, I think, is a matter of the artist trying to define themselves against new technical capabilities, right? But my one question right now would simply be whether the proliferation of images scrolling through, you know, a Midjourney chat or a Discord server with AI images, or simply in the degree to which it promulgates our screens, whether that tends to heighten our capacity to carefully attend to the world, or rather numbs us and leaves us sort of skimming. I think I wrote something like this in that piece you cited, skimming an infinite surface rather than ever kind of plumbing a depth at a particular point in a way that would be more satisfying.
It reminded me of David Holtz, who founded Midjourney, him talking about, you know, the role of AI could be to just reduce the price of art and, you know, the work of artists, because it's just easier, or we could end up making wildly better art. And I thought, well, what is wildly better art? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a sense that lies, a normative sense of the purpose of art that lies underneath that, which feels like we're just going to be numbed by incredible images rather than have wildly better attentiveness to art or wildly better understanding or appreciation of art. Thanks so much, Michael and Amit. I certainly learned a huge amount of that, although I don't think I think we actually did work out, for at least for me at least, the difference between creativity and art, and a way to sort of put things in these two categories that maybe does more justice to both of them than I realized coming in. So thanks so much.
Well, that was part one of our conversation on AI, but check back next week for our On the Couch episode, where Lloyd throws the guests tough questions and curveballs. And if you're enjoying Principle of Charity, be sure to leave a review and spread the word. See you next week.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.